Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello, and welcome us again to the Skeptic Psychic. Dwelling into the interesting, fascinating world of the paranormal, the UFOs, the IFOs, and other things that kind of creep and dirt through the cemeteries. With me is my wonderful, sweet, kind, considerate, brave, clean, reverend, and very highly intelligent sister of mine, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hey, how are you this week?
I'm doing fine, and your eyes are going like this. You're kind of embarrassed about me always going saying all these wonderful things.
No, not at all. I was just looking up. Did you know that they're no longer called UFOs?
They're called IFOs.
No, they're actually called UAP.
UAP, that's right. Unidentified yes. Aerial Phenomenon.
Well, actually, it's not aerial anymore. It's anomalous.
Anomalous, ah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, have you heard about the Jersey drones?
I heard something about Jersey drones, and I didn't know what they were talking about. All I know is they said don't go looking for them or try to figure out where they're coming from. And I'm like, what are they talking about? What's going on here?
Okay. Right now, the original report were coming in from New Jersey, around Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Which, if you know back in the War of the Worlds radio broadcast by Orson Welles, that was the location of where the Martians landed in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. And 50 years later, Buckaroo Banzai, they were talking about that possibly the aliens from Planet 10 actually landed on Earth in Grover's New Jersey. Going back to that, these drones are not the little drones that you see flying around, personal use, that sort of thing. We're talking about military grade. And everybody's wondering, you know, is this the government doing this? Is it foreign countries doing this? Is it China? Is it Iraq? From what is leaking out slowly is that the government is testing these new drones outside of these military bases.
Interesting.
So, may or may not, but that's a lot of the UAPs right now that are floating around. They've actually been seen as far away as Dallas, Texas.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I think it's interesting now that they call it a UAP instead of a UFO, because from what I was reading, that, you know, how they also say that the UFO or the aliens may already be here on Earth underwater mm-hmm. in our oceans. So basically, the UAP is to classify all alien life form, not just those from coming from outer space and flying saucers.
And you would also talk about extraterrestrials mm-hmm. Can also be called intraterrestrials.
Right, because they may be coming from the oceans or under our ground.
Yes.
So they want to be all-inclusive, so to speak.
Right.
So I know it's been a hiatus since we've been around with your move. I'm glad y'all are settled in and we are back on track. I'm sure our listeners and our watchers, viewers, whichever, our viewers.
The pod people.
Yes.
Remember, our pod people.
They
Yes.
named
themselves this. We were going to call them Peanut Gallery, but they prefer Pod People.
Yes, they have been patiently waiting a new episode. So we are back officially. And tonight we are talking about one of my favorite haunts. We are talking about the Island of the Dolls in Mexico, also known as La Isla de las Muñecas.
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 Yes. A lot of these words are in Spanish, so they will be kind of hard to pronounce. Please don't come at us if we mispronounce something. We'll do the best we can to say it correctly. But why don't you kick us off?
Alrighty. Las Isla de las Muñecas. Or let's just say the Island of the Dolls is one of the most mystery and chilling landmarks in Mexico. Its original traces back to the mid 20th century, sorry, not 1920s, and revolves around the particular and tragic life of Don Julian Santa Anna Barrera.
No, not Santa Ana, just Santana
Santana is what I
Barrera.
said. Barrera, that's what I said. Santana Barrera.
Yes, no Santa Ana, no relation.
All right, so Don Julian Santana Barrera is sole caretaker for decades. Now, let's talk about Don Julian. Little is known about Julian before he moved to the island. He reportedly left his family and chose a reclusive life on the small island of Xochimilco. See, I can do it.
That was a hard one, so I'm glad you got it.
Over the few decades, Julian has transformed the island into a sort of bizarre shrine. He's collected discarded dolls from garbage dumps, neighbors, and canals, hanging them up regardless of their condition. Don Julian was deeply religious and superstitious. He believed that the dolls had protective powers and they can be carried to the spirits of the deceased children. Now, why does he want to carry away the spirits of deceased children?
Well, it all started when he found, sometime in the 50s, he found the body of a young girl, and it seemed that she had drowned under mysterious circumstances in the canals of Xochimilco. Again, this is near where he lived. After finding the body, he claimed that her cries and footsteps could be heard around his house. And he became convinced that her spirit was haunting him. So, in order to appease the little girl, he started to hang the dolls around the island. And this was not only to keep her happy as a child, but to protect him from the spirit of this girl. Again, the first doll that he found was floating in the canal with the girl. So he took this as a sign that it was her doll, and he went ahead and hung it from a tree. Now, what started with just a single doll grew into a grotesque collection of thousands of dolls. We're talking everything from Barbies to, the big baby dolls to whatever thing he could find, stuffed animals, you name it. Some of these had their own eerie presence about them, such as missing limbs or empty eye sockets. And some of them, it seemed like the doll itself was decaying. Now, Julian did not maintain the dolls. He just hung them up there and let the weather take them and decompose them as needed. And this tends to add to this unsettling atmosphere. With all these dolls hanging around, it became a curiosity for the locals. And the island gained notoriety among the tourists and other paranormal enthusiasts.
Now, the hanging dolls on the island has roots in a combination of superstition, spirituality, and personal belief, particularly influenced by Don Julian.
I'm not going to call this Santana Barrera. We know this is Don Julian.
Okay.
Now, he saw the dolls as a talisman or guardian that could ward off evil spirits or negative energies. The hanging dolls served as a barrier between him and the other potential supernatural threats. He considers them as watchers on the island, keeping them safe from harm, keeping him safe from harm. Mm-hmm. Now, dolls as a spiritual vessel, not a nuclear vessel, nor a starship vessel, but a vessel. Sorry, I just went to check off there for a second, a nuclear vessel.
Yes, we need the vessel. Bring us the vessel.
In many cultures, dolls are believed to serve as a vessel for spirits, either by capturing them or giving them a form to inhabit. Don Julio may have believed that the dolls could contain or redirect the girl's spirit, preventing it from wandering or causing any harm. The belief aligns with traditional Mexican spiritual practices, which can be blend Catholicism with indigenous rituals and animalistic ideas. It can also go back to the Incan and Mayan belief.
Mm-hmm. As well as Egyptian. And that's one thing I want to talk about further on another episode is the origin of dolls and right. Why we consider them being so tied with the supernatural.
Right. I'd also like to mention the fact that a lot of the dolls that are wasting away and getting, how Don Julian has actually placed the dolls, that a lot of critters like to live in these dolls too, like spiders, snakes, cockroaches.
Oh, nasty.
So he doesn't, like I said, he doesn't upkeep them. And so a lot of the weird, scary stuff is, in fact, I was watching an episode of Ghost Adventurers. And they were filming a scene where, they're filming this doll and you get to see a spider come crawling out of it.
No, thank you. No creepy crawlies for me.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Yes,
that is okay.
Still in topic. But
It is. But yeah, that's just, I'm already getting the chills. Living alone on a secluded island, Don Julio may have developed this obsessive ritual as a way to cope with his own isolation and fear and even the guilt of leaving his own family behind to come to this island. And this could have been his way of processing the trauma. You know, first he leaves his family behind, then he discovers this girl's body just floating in the canal. This could have sparked his own fears, especially of the paranormal, and this was his way of coping with it all.
This was his Lassie's Bodita.
Mm-hmm. Ritualistic actions such as repeatedly hanging the dolls could have brought him a sense of control or comfort in a situation that he couldn't fully understand. And as we mentioned before, the dolls are deeply symbolic. These often represent childhood, innocence, and even life. On the island itself, their decayed and mutilated forms turn the symbolism on its head as it starts to represent death, decay, and even the haunting presence of this child who passed.
Now, we do know that folklorical and local beliefs in Mexico, has a rich tradition of ghost stories and practices aimed at appeasing or protecting against spirits, such like La Llorona and
La Llorona.
La Llorona.
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 There you go.
I mean, with the Spanish, Indian, and the combining of the two cultures blending into a likely deeply religious and superstition. I mean, hanging them to ward off the spirits isn't unique to dolls. Other cultures hang amulets, masks, or offerings, or jewelry. Even the vampire, you hang garlic inside your home to ward off the evil spirits of either your family becoming a vampire or having a vampire not come inside your home.
As well as the crosses to void off the evil spirits to protect your home. I've seen where they put the crosses up, or they'll even put these little, what are they called? They're like coins, but not really coins, but they're blessed by the church, mm-hmm. and they use those also, right. as well as the holy water.
Right. I mean, practices of feng shui, going in, we can always do that as well, is a way to ward off evil spirits in the Chinese culture.
And negative energy.
And negative energy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it reminds me of a joke. This teacher is living alone inside at this little rural small town, you know, just a block, about a mile down from the school. She walks every morning to school and every day back. She hears a knock at the door, and she opens the door, and there stands a vampire. And the vampire looks and says, "Can I come in?" The teacher looks at him and says, "I don't know, can you?" And the vampire snaps his finger and says, "Darn, curse that improper English."
It's "may I," not "can I."
Yes.
Yes. So why not remove these dolls? I mean, it's been years. Don Julian has passed on. So why not remove the dolls? Well, for him, each of these dolls was significant. They were, again, like you said, often salvaged from the trash, or even visitors who came to see him would gift these dolls to him. So he believed that each doll contributed to the island's protective energy, even if it was in disrepair. That's why they were left untouched to retain their spiritual essence. The act of hanging the dolls transformed the island into a surreal and unsettling landscape. This amplified its eerie atmosphere, and it made it a unique reflection of Don Julian's fears and his beliefs. The practice, steeped in both personal ritual and cultural resonance, has since captivated the imaginations of visitors worldwide. Now, sadly, in 2001, Don Julian died under mysterious circumstances. Interesting enough, his body was found floating in the same canal where he claimed to have found the girl decades earlier. This eerie coincidence has fueled speculation about a curse or even maybe a paranormal connection. Since his death, his family he once left has made it their mission to maintain the island as a tourist attraction and a shrine, leaving the dolls exactly where they once were.
Now, also to note, there are several, because it is a big tourist attraction, there are several fake islands down there that people will, you know, put a few dolls up on a few of the island canals and say, "Oh, this is the Don Julio Island."
Interesting. That I was unaware of, that there were copycats. Yeah. Makes sense, though.
Yeah, the Sao Chi Miao Cao canals and their significance, where the island is located, are part of a vast series of waterways created during the time of the Aztecs, which goes back. They are now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, whatever UNESCO is. United Northern Spanish Security Co-op.
Let me look that up while you're.
Now, these canals have been central to the local myths and legends folklore, often seen as mysterious and sacred. In fact, I believe they also do several plays on the island as well. The island is one of the many chimpananas, or artificially agricultural islands, that were created by the Aztecs. Over time, they became a remote and isolated location, adding to the eerie rituals. Now, the tourist appeal of the island, as well as the cultural significance, is more than just an eerie attraction. It's a cultural artifact and a symbol of Mexico's rich history, folklore, spiritual traditions, and beliefs. It's a unique story, and the haunting atmosphere makes it a magnet for tourists, because tourists always like the weird and unexplained. I mean, the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota is one of the, you know, well, one, it was already known as a famous landmark. Two, Weird Al made a bunch of money off of the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
Did he write a song about it?
Yes.
Wow, I was unaware of that.
Yes, he wrote a song called The Biggest Ball of Twine in Arizona.
Arizona or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
I have a friend who... Yes, I have a friend who lives in Minnesota. I'm going to have to ask her about that.
Yes.
And I did look up what UNESCO means, and it's the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
Okay.
So now we know.
Yes. It's a magnet for tourists, paranormal enthusiasts, and those curious about the intersection of myth and reality. Now, the relevance of the Mexican folklore and spirituality is the synchronic nature of the Mexican spirituality beliefs often blend with catechism and indigenous traditions. See, I did it right that time.
Catholicism.
Yes. The idea is the appealing experience of honoring the dead as a central to celebrating what, like Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, where offerings are often made to enshrine peace and to the departed. Now, also to know, I saw the other day a Batman Day of the Dead pop figurine.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was real cute.
I could imagine. Excuse me. Don Julian's actions align with the indigenous practices of creating physical symbols, such as amulets or effigies, to ward off spirits or to honor them. And in many cultures, the dolls, again, are associated with childhood and innocence. But in the Mexican folklore, they can also serve as vessels for spirits. Again, this goes back to like what we were talking about before with the, I guess you could say Mesoamericans, which are the Incans, the Aztecs, the natives, as well as in Egyptian beliefs.
And let's not forget about the voodoo dolls.
Yes, that is true too. So that could maybe have influenced again his decision to use them as offerings or protectors. Now there is also the floating gardens, which is the Chinampas. This is an island which, my brain having ADHD moments all day. It is a man-made agricultural plot developed again by the Aztecs, and they consider these like floating gardens. Again, these are part of the UNESCO World Heritage Site, and they represent the ingenuity and the pre-Hispanic agriculture, which, as I did mention before, that UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, scientific and cultural organization. So they're the ones who like pretty much manage this area along with the family. And also the canals were historically considered spiritual and sacred before this all happened with the finding of the child who had passed. It seems that they are tied to the fertility and cycle of life and death. This spiritual backdrop does add depth to the legend of the drowned girl and many of the island's mysterious aura.
All right. Now, modern day tourists. The island's reputation as a haunted site draws paranormal enthusiasts from all over the world. In fact, I can name about two or three of them that actually have been there. Of course, the Ghost Adventurers, Ghost Hunters, the show Ghost Hunters, and I believe Killer Dave has been there too. The Dave.
He's like Killer Dave. He's Dave Schrader.
That's how I call him, Killer Dave.
Ah.
The Dave Schrader.
Also, Josh
And
Gates.
Josh Case has been there. Let's see, Anna Renata. There are two Australian ladies who do a paranormal podcast. Have done a talk on them as well. It's been out there, although it was hard to get Anne out there. She's just afraid of water. So now, it's it also claims of healing, of hearing whispers, not healing, of hearing whispers, giggles, and footsteps, as well as the dolls moving on their own. And common stories are shared by visitors. Paranormal investigators. Again, Ghost Adventurers have visited the site, adding to its mystique. Not to be confused with Mystique the X-Men.
No, but I'm sure she would transform into a doll to freak some people out there,
You'd just be hanging around.
right?
Yeah. Now, the journey to the island is itself a part of the appeal. Visitors take colorful traditional flat-bottom boats through the canals, which are so chi mi cow, to reach the island. The ride offers a scenic view and immersive cultural experience. The remoteness and isolation of the island highlights the eerie atmosphere, making it a unique adventure. It's even scarier in the daylight as well as the dark. Now, the decaying dolls hanging in various states of disrepair create an unsettling yet fascinating environment. The contrast between the vibrant nature surroundings and the grotesque figures make the island virtually and emotionally impactful.
Now, despite its eerie reputation, La Isla de las Muñecas is seen as a cultural landmark. It represents the resilience of a local tradition and the ability to capture global interest. This does help to support the local economy, as the story does bring much needed tourism and revenue to the canals, and this supports the local boat operators, guides, and visitors, as well as the families who live nearby in the area. Also, the island's bizarre and haunting aesthetics has captured the global imagination. Not only is it focused on the paranormal side, but it is also featured in travel guides and blogs, documentaries, also social media. And this helps also further cement its status as a must-visit destination. And not only that, but the unique story has also inspired writers, filmmakers, and artists to create works based on the haunting lore of this place.
That is really fascinating. I mean, they do ask you ethically as well as spiritually consideration, respect the site. The island is more than just a tourist attraction. It is a place of significant spiritual inspiration, whether legend, folklore, or what. Visitors are encouraged to treat it with respect, acknowledging its cultural and supernatural importance. Now, some locals view the island as a tourist trap, specializing in the that trivializes the story, while others see it as a way to preserve the legend and culture of So Chi Mi Cao. See, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Now, the connections to a broader tradition. Dies de los Muertos, the parallel of the island, mirrors themes found in the Day of the Dead, such as honoring the dead, bridging the gap between the living and the spiritual world, and the rising use of symbolic offerings. In fact, there is actually an altar in Don Julio's cabin, his little house, the hacienda that he lived in. Now, it is also a tangible reminder of death's presence. The culture itself and other emphasis embraces death as part of life, and the island's eerie collection of dolls is a physical manifestation of this philosophy.
Now, again, many claim to hear faint whispers as they walk through the island. This especially happens near the cluster of dolls. The voices are often described as childlike and are believed to belong to the girl who passed or the spirits that now inhabit the dolls that were brought to her. One of the most reported phenomena is the movement of the dolls themselves, meaning you're just standing there and the doll is facing one way. And say you look away and then look back at the doll and the head is turned. Many say that these heads follow them as they walk along, or the arms may shift, or their legs may go an opposite way. And this happens.
Or spiders or snakes may crawl out of their mouths. They see a fly go and it else.
And they say that this happens even if there's no wind or external cause. Now, the ones who still have eyes, it is said that their eyes blink as they seem to be watching those who pass by. And again, the people who are into the spirits and paranormal do believe that these are spirits inhabiting the dolls, animating them as they are using them as a vessel. And this is their way to interact with the living. Some say they also hear faint giggles or child's laughter echoing through the island. It's said that these sounds occur late at night or even early in the morning. And this helps to add to the belief that the girl's spirit lingers on.
All right, now, the apparitions. Ooh, he gave me the best topic, apparition.
Woohoo!
Yes, shadowy figures have seen moving among the trees, often described as a fleeting and hard to track. Some visitors report seeing the ghostly image of a young girl in a white dress, sometimes by the water's edge or near the original doll that Don Julio hung, which is inside his cabin, I believe.
I was going to say, how do they know exactly which is the first doll he ever hung?
They actually do. It's inside this house. They've actually put it, on an altar, per se.
Interesting.
Now, you also get this feeling of unexplained uneasiness. Most people report of a sense of dread or sadness upon stepping onto the island. Visitors often describe the feeling as being watched or followed, even when no one else is around. It's just a small little inland island.
Mm-hmm.
The physical sensations that some feel have reported being touched, grabbed, or pushed while exploring the island. Cold spots and sudden temperature drops are common, particularly near the tree which the dolls hang on.
Now, the area where Don Julian supposedly drowned himself is said to be particularly active, as Visitors say that they've seen strange splashes in the water with no visible cause. That could easily be a fish coming up for food, but from what they say, they don't see anything. They also
have
feel
you ever
this.
Watched a fish come up for food?
Yeah, I have.
And just go boop, and you see that little curve, you know.
Well, also, I mean, if they're fighting with something, the water does splash.
Yeah,
I've actually seen them in the ocean where they're like the waves are coming in and the fish fly over the wave and back into the water. It's actually really cool to see the fishies come out. But they also say that they have a feeling of inexplicable pull or heaviness when they stand in the water's edge. They may hear murmurs or voices coming from the water itself.
Oh, hush. Even
keep it
now.
down now.
Voices
Carrie. You know, when I first heard that song as a kid, I thought her name was Carrie.
Oh,
really? It
it
wasn't until I got older that I was like, oh, okay, Voices Carrie is in they travel, not that her name is Carrie.
Voices Carrie, voices.
Exactly, that's what I thought. Okay, back on track. Sorry, ADHD tangent. Paranormal investigators have noted that their equipment does often malfunction while on the island as well. Cameras, audio recorders, and even EMF detectors have glitches, unexplained spikes, or even their batteries drained. I remember Mercy was saying if we ever went to a haunted house, he wanted to take a Game Boy or a portable PSP. That way he could see if his battery drained on his game while he was there. I told him he just wanted to take a game to play. He's like, no, no, it's for scientific evidence. I want to see if the battery's drained. Right.
Let's talk about another one of my favorite topics, the skeptical explanation. Now, while the hauntings are compelling, there are others that give more of an offered more ground explanation. Dolls moving. It may be the wind, it may be gravity. It also may be the decay of the dolls themselves that create movements. Or it may be the spiders, snakes, and bugs inside of it that may just kind of...
That's what I was going to say. If you've got a spider or a snake moving around inside of you, you're not going to stay very still.
Right. I mean, whispers and voices, that also could be contributed by the rustling of the leaves or... even the bugs, the snakes, and other creatures that live inside there. In fact, interesting to know, when I was on the when I was in the Navy on the island of Guam, there are a lot of rustling in the little jungle areas, and that was just the animals that lived inside that little jungle area, like hermit crabs or other creepy crawly things, just living nature in itself.
Yeah, but if you hear a voice actually communicating like words, how do you attribute that to the animals?
It's a small island. There's other people around on the other island around there.
Yeah, but if you, well, in Guam, yes, but on this island,
I'm
say that you went out the
island,
island for the night. Yeah, so there's it's a small island. He was the only one that lived on the island, and now he's passed. So if you went out this island at night, you're the only one there. So if you hear a voice saying hello, that's not going to be somebody else or an animal.
Have you ever been midnight fishing?
I have not. I'm not a fishing fan.
Okay. Basically, oh, I know you're not a fishing fan, but I'm saying if you're out fishing or you're out hunting in the middle of the night, you're trying to keep a low voice. And to understand the fact that that may be guys going out fishing or hunting for snakes at night or something like that for dinner in the morning or breakfast. That's maybe, you know, the rustling of the leaves, distant sounds carried by the water, and the psychological effect can create the illusion of voices. Or some guy might be out there just fishing, you know,
interesting.
Or hunting. I mean, this island is not that big, and there's a lot of other little canal islands around it.
This is true.
The feeling of unease may also be due to the fact of looking at the decayed dolls. And you've already been psychosomatic, the fact of It's haunted because of the dolls. Look how nasty the dolls look. Think about that. You're also being already geared up to expect the unexpected because you've heard the stories. So you're getting a strong emotional response. You've already heard all the stories. You see the doll move. You see a spider come crawling out of somebody's mouth. Boom, you're out of there.
Definitely for me, if I see a spider or a snake coming out of the mouth
No,
or a cockroach. No, thank you.
appearances on TV shows, Ghost Adventures. We've already talked about Zach, my man. Gets in so much trouble. I would love to just sit down and talk to Zach.
Heard he's an arrogant SOB, but.
I've actually heard he's actually a very nice guy, but the arrogant SOB is just the act he throws up on TV. He's actually very shy and very, you know.
Interesting.
Yes.
Maybe.
I mean, they
Hopefully
actually
he
stopped.
never watches our show.
Mac, if you're out there and watch Skeptic Psychic, please contact me. I'm at,
You're
was
a
it?
fan.
I'm a fan. Skepticpsychic.com, info at skepticpsychic.com. Zach, hit me up. We'll talk. We'll schmooze. We'll go on. Hey, we're here and there and everywhere. We'll go out on an adventure maybe. Just invite me, something, you know.
Yes, I would love to be invited by anybody, even if you're just a small, dank little paranormal group in the area. I would love to go hunting with you.
Now, this episode that they did brought the island to international significant attention and firmly placed it on the map of ghost hunting enthusiasts. Although Destination Truth explored the legend of the island, interviewed locals, conducting nighttime investigation, the team reported strange noises, whispers, and a sense of uneasiness.
Now, see, that's a guy I would hang with is Josh Gates.
I want to hang with Josh Gates too. Josh. Here, right here. Call me.
He, yeah.
We'll smile, we'll smooze, we'll snooze. Come on, we'll get together,
I mean, he's
I'll
a
send
not only is
it
he
out
a
right here.
pair, not only is he a paranormal buff, but he's a history buff, he's an adventure buff, a legends and mysteries buff. I mean, he's the bomb.
Yes. Did you know they actually belongs to the Explorer Club?
Really? I believe, I mean, I see that as being, because yeah.
The Explorers Club, for anybody that wants to know, was a group of adventurers in New York that set off on some very unique adventures. Admiral Byrd was one of the Adventurers Club. Let's see. I believe John Glenn is part of the Adventurers Club.
Interesting.
And Neil Armstrong is also part of the Adventurers Club.
Yeah, when John Glenn was stationed in San Antonio, he used to, one of his hangs was our stepdad's family, the bar that his family owned. He would
He
go
likes
in
to go to
there.
Smitty's.
He would go to Smitty's and have a drink.
Ah, wow.
Yep. That wasn't, that was not too far from the bay. So he'd go in and have a drink and visit with everyone there. Now,
Now, tell me about that's the other the UK-based paranormal series.
yes, Most Haunted has been known, or they did an investigation as there as well. And then you also
Their
have the
favorite side psychic with them?
Derek, I think is his
Yes.
name.
Yes. Did they bring Derek with them?
I think so.
Okay.
Also, the cultural and travel shows have also chosen this place. Anthony Bourdain from Parts Unknown on CNN. His visit was less about ghost hunting and more about the cultural aspects of the canals. He did stop at the Island of the Dolls to highlight its folklore and the place within the vibrant but eerie tapestry of the Mexican culture. Another great one, Mysteries at the Museum. Now, they did a show which went into the history and legends surrounding the island, and they did explore the life more of Don Julian and the cultural
Santana Barrera.
Santana Barrera, as well as the cultural significance that the dolls have.
Now,
What are some
documentary
documentaries? Yes.
Haunted Places did a feature on La La Isla de las Muñecas due to its unique story and creepy visuals. These films explored the history and the paranormal claims that in interviews with the locals. The independent paranormal documentary. Many independent filmmakers and paranormal enthusiasts have produced videos about the island, often available on YouTube and other streaming platforms. For books, travel guides, and the paranormal literature, the Island of the Dolls is frequently mentioned in books about haunting destinations and the paranormal phenomenon, such as haunted places, the world's creepiest locations, and weird hauntings, true tales of ghostly places.
Also, it has been the inspiration of much fiction. It has inspired horror novels, short stories, and it often uses the imagery of decaying dolls and the legends of the Drowned Girl to create its chilling narratives. It has even been on social media and jumped into the online presence, such as travel vloggers, paranormal investigators. They all have created content around the island and YouTube channels like BuzzFeed Unsolved have explored its lore, contributing to its viral popularity. There's also been on Instagram and TikTok that where they've done haunting visuals of the island and made it a popular topic for influencers and content creators. They have been posts showcasing the decaying dolls hanging from the trees, and they have attracted millions of views and comments. Maybe if we post some of the pictures of the dolls, we'll get millions of views and content. What do you think?
Nah, I don't think so.
Reddit also has threads discussing the island, and they do frequently discussing that disgusting.
Oh, disgusting. They've done some frequently disgusting videos on it.
No, they have. They discuss the island frequently.
Discuss the island or discuss.
Discuss. Like, okay. You know, like you're having a conversation. They're talking about the island. And you know, it's come up
in conversations.
Yes. Well, I've seen some stuff on Reddit. It can be pretty disgusting.
Right.
But they do have travel related subreddits where they do share their experiences, theories, and photos. And what else?
Well, horror films and shows. The concept of haunted dolls and isolated locations have been a recurring theme in movies and shows, often indirectly inspired by this island, like Annabelle, The Boy. Did you know they made a movie about your favorite doll too?
Barbie? I knew about the Barbie movie.
No, not the Barbie movie, the one that lives in Florida.
And oh, Robert.
Yes, they actually did a horror movie about Robert.
Yes, I heard about that.
Games.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, one of Mercy's favorite games, such as Fatal Frame, does have featured environments that seem inspired by the doll's haunting location and aesthetics.
Yes. Fatal Frame is a very freaky one. If you've never played that one, oh my gosh, that game gave me chills just watching him play it. But there have also been academic and cultural discussions, such as scholars of folklore and cultural anthropology have discussed the island in academic works, and they analyze its connection to the Mexican spirituality, death rituals, and urban legends. Also, psychological and sociological studies have referred to the island as, you know, a case study in discussion about human psychology and fear and the role that superstition can play in shaping our beliefs and behaviors. Why are people drawn to the macabre? Discuss.
Why are people drawn to the macabre?
Yes.
Basically I would take it all the way back to Mel Brooks. People love life, and They all, even back then, when someone dies, it's always a sense of awe. Awe. And people are wondering what exactly goes on behind the veil. I mean, even the skeptics that want to discuss, you know, what happens to your body when you die. I mean, there is a place called the Body Farm where they actually have different bodies either decomposing, being stuck in some cement or wax. And, you know, it's just people are drawn to it because there is nobody has ever come back, according to the skeptics, to say, hey, man, check it out. Like that old joke about the two old men. You know, one of them, they were big baseball fans. And so, let's call them Joe and Bob. So, one day, Bob dies. Joe is so heartbroken. So, he's sitting there comes every day to the graveside or go sit down at their favorite spot. And one day, he hears, "Boo." And Joe, like, "Bob, is that you?" And he had a voice, "Yes, it is me." "Great. How is it over there?" "Oh, it's so wonderful." "Do they play baseball there?" "Oh, yes, they play baseball." "What other thing can you tell me?" "Next week you'll be playing shortstop."
Speaking of body farms, did you know that the largest body farm in America is located in San Marcos, Texas, and that it's ran by Texas State University?
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode of, what was that show with Jack and Ozzy Osbourne where they traveled across the country?
The Osbournes Do America.
Well, in one of the episodes, they were in Texas and they stopped by them and checked out the body farm. So yeah,
the first body farm is located, I believe, either in South Carolina or North Carolina. I'm not too sure about that. But they actually opened their gates to scientific research, you know, and mm-hmm. They've actually had several TV shows that went out there and actually, you know, "See that that little shallow grave over there? We've got a body in there. We're mm-hmm. studying the fact, you know, that the, you know."
Yeah, that's what the one in San Marcos does, is it studies, you know, the different stages of decomposition and death and things like that. Lot of times when people think they're donating their body to science, you're not actually going to the university to be cut up. You're actually being thrown out into one of these body farms to be studied.
No, also, I believe Shauna used to have a book. She may still, where it's basically they talk about people, what happened to people that have donated their bodies to science. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they go to the body farm. Sometimes they are decapitated and their heads are used to study their brain or used so people that want to become plastic surgeons can practice on their plastic surgery on the skull.
Now, from an ethical standpoint, do you believe that having this island, using it as a tourist attraction, do you feel like it exploits the fears or creates a spectacle of the death and tragedy of this child and this man? Or do you think it's done in a way that's respectful of this while still keeping the community going?
Well, I've mentioned this before we started taping, the fact that there's you have to ask for a certain island because there are several get-rich scheme locals that will take you to another island. Some of them just have a house on it. Some of them may just have a clothesline full of dolls. But you have to know the exact name of the island before, instead of saying, "I want to go to the island of the dolls."
So in that sense, yes, they are exploiting the idea of it as a get-rich thing.
Yes.
Now, as a psychic medium who's also a skeptic, hence skeptic psychic, do you believe that these hauntings are real, or do you think it's just picking up stuff from the the natural order of the area.
I think you're already walking into a situation. You've already heard the legends and the stories, so that's going to feed into your fear or feed into your curiosity. Again, you may be hearing whispering voices or scratchings, that sort of thing. That may be the local wildlife. You're seeing dark shadows. That could be something that the only way that you can actually know is to experience it for yourself. I would have loved to not known about it and just go there and see if you're getting the still type of situation where, ooh, I just saw that leg move. Sure it did. That mosquito jumped on it and flew off. Okay. Oh, look at that lizard running across there. Its big shadows looks like a little kid. I'm being very serious.
No, I understand, yeah. So with that in mind, if it is a real haunting, do you believe that his belief in spirits and his dedication to the dolls created a magnet for the activity? In other words, by putting the dolls up, he created a vessel for these spirits to come and inhabit? Or is it just the energy that's brought onto it by the visitors coming in and expecting something to happen?
I think he might have created a tulpa.
Which I want to talk about in a future episode.
A future episode. For everybody, in a future episode, a tulpa is something that is created by giving life, by giving it life.
Yes.
There is a very interesting discussion on that from Canada in the early 70s, which in future episode, I would love to tell you that story. So whether he created it or it was already there, we don't know. Again, like I said, I wish I didn't know the island. I was brought there to a blind to actually, to see what was going on. I mean, already with the TV shows, there's already too much information for a real true psychic to actually go there.
Agreed. Unless you're somebody who just, fell off a rock and has never heard or watched TV or has never heard of this place. Then possibly.
Which rock? Dwayne Johnson?
Could be.
Yeah, I have just fallen off the rock. Ah, can you believe it?
Well, I mean, yeah, with falling off of him, you might have a concussion. So you could have forgotten all of this. But this has been a very interesting topic. And we do ask our listeners to let us know in the comments, do you think it is haunted? Have you ever been to the Island of the Dolls? Did you have any experiences? Or do you think it's all just made up for the shock factor? Right. Again, let us know in the comments and like and subscribe.
I would like to, our next episode, and I promise you that it will probably be next week, I want to talk about another individual who may not brought up into the glorification or immersion or tomfoolery or crankery or humbuggery. The man's name is John Keel. He is most famously noted for reporting on the Mothman and his prophecies. If you guys would like to hear more about it, I've got a wonderful story about him.
Yes, definitely. We will look forward for that for our next episode. And with that in mind, hope everybody has a wonderful night and happy holidays to everyone.
Feliz Navidad, Joye Noel, Merry Christmas. Let's see.
Happy Hanukkah.
Mili Kalami.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever you celebrate, have a joyous Noel. Have a joyous holiday. If you don't
remember, I believe it is Friday that we have the winter solstice.
Yes.
So those of you that practice the craft, this will actually be the longest night and the shortest day of the season.
Yes. So again, whatever holiday you celebrate, we wish you a happy one. If you don't celebrate any holiday whatsoever, happy December and happy end of the year. And
Also, ladies and gentlemen, would like to say yesterday was Beethoven's 254th birthday. One of my favorite composers. I mean, I really would love to see the fact of what he's be decomposing now.
yeah, so with that in mind, everybody, again, make sure you like, subscribe, comment below, and share with friends.
You got a story to tell us? Go to info@getthepsychic.com. Drop us a message. Get to know us, you know. Oh, hey, by the way,
Yes.
get this out on the field. Can we have for our New Year's presentation? Can we get Jason back on? Our tarot wizard, Jason. Can you hear this? Come on, call get a hold of us. We'd love to celebrate with you into the New Year's.
But with that, we wish everybody a very happy holiday, happy December, happy end of the year, and yes. And with that, we wish you all a sweet dreams
And unpleasant nightmares.
and good night, everyone.
Good night.